This week on Vaticano, we revisit the canonization of St. Carlo Acutis and St. Pier Giorgio Frassati, whose inspiring lives continue to resonate globally. We follow the Jesus Bikers, a group of German bikers on their journey to Rome, where they present a motorbike as a gift to the Holy Father. We sit down with Wanda Gawronska, niece of St. Pier Giorgio Frassati, to discuss his legacy and enduring impact. Marking 10 years of dedicated service, Aci Stampa celebrates a decade of faithfully bringing the Church's stories to the world. Vaticano starts now. Pope Leo XIV canonized his first two saints on Sunday, St. Carlo Acutis and St. Pier Giorgio Frassati. This was an eagerly anticipated moment this year, especially because both of their original canonization dates were postponed. Carlo's mother, Antonia, alongside her husband and two children, were able to proudly witness their son being canonized as the first millennial saint.
Beatus Petrum Georgium Frassati et Carolum Acutis, Sanctus esse discernimus et definimus, ac Sanctorum Catologo ascribim.
Pope Leo XIV greeted them, as well as Frassati's relatives, who were also present. St. Peter's Square filled up with around 70,000 faithful, many of whom queued up at very early hours of the morning or even camped out overnight to get a guaranteed seat for the celebration.
I actually re-inspired from Carlo Acutis. That's why I came here from the south of Italy, just to see his canonization. And I personally love him and his figure and the importance it has on today's world, because he actually showed that young men can actually be saints.
I'm feeling so incredible and amazing. It was one of the most memorable experiences that I think I've ever had.
And these are two really good saints for this day and age. I think they'll provide great examples for the youth of today.
Before the big day on Sunday, the Eternal City was full of spiritual and cultural preparations for locals and pilgrims. Chicago artist Johnny Verba used his talent and imagination to evangelize through creating a unique artwork compiled of over 1,000 soldier figurines to portray the spiritual warfare Catholics face in everyday life.
So one of my favorite aspects of the piece is really just the general overview, which is all of the culture of death represented by the black, gray, and white figures point their weapons on Jesus at the crucifix. And you see the 163 colored figures, which are represented by every single Eucharistic miracle that Carlo documented, are facing away, evangelizing, going against the culture, and fighting for Christ.
The pieces used to make up the face of Carlo are all carefully and intentionally positioned to depict Carlo's life and the miracles that followed.
And so there's also the first miracle, which is represented by the steak and French fries at the bottom, which is Mateus, who is the Brazilian boy, and of course Valeria, the second miracle, who is in the top right-hand corner, who crashed her bicycle in Florence, and she was miraculously healed.
Later that day, Johnny and many others, including Cardinal Raymond Burke, attended an exclusive showing of the film Carlo Acutis, Roadmap to Reality, which premiered at the Pontifical North American College with a guest appearance from Antonia Acutis, Carlo's mother, who gave a few words on the film and thoughts on her son's life. On the eve of the canonizations of Pier Giorgio and Carlo, Italian Catholic Action organized an evening prayer vigil at the Basilica of St. John the Baptist of the Florentines, focusing on the life of Pier Giorgio Frassati. The evening was filled with prayer, music, and reflection upon the life of the 24-year-old Italian saint.
Particularly been friends with, I would say, most definitely friends with Pier Giorgio Frassati for quite a long time. I consider saints our friends if they lead us closer to Christ, and he's definitely done that for me in more ways than I could probably describe.
Yeah, so this is actually really exciting for me. I mean, there are two people that we can look up to. Obviously, I think a lot of us understand that that's what the whole point of the canonization is, for us to realize that These two people lived heroic lives, like of heroic virtue, and so we get to do that too.
The Catholic Church, now two saints richer, will continue to use the examples of St. Carlo Acutis and St. Pier Giorgio Frassati to show that sainthood is attainable today. With Carlo's love for the Eucharist and Pier's heart for the poor, they teach us how by keeping close to Christ and loving our neighbors, we can find the pathway to heaven. Today is a great day of joy in the Vatican. Pope Leo is celebrating his 70th birthday, an important milestone honored by millions of faithful around the world. Peruvians and missionaries who once shared their ministry with him fondly remember his years of kind and humble service in their country.
When I saw photos of Father Prevost on horseback in the media, I went through my archives and found those very same pictures. The Holy Father fell in love with Peru, and I can say I did too. For every missionary, whether bishop, priest, or nun, it's simply natural and obvious to do whatever needs to be done.
Now, no longer in distant Peru, but at the heart of Christianity, Pope Leo takes on his new role. And now, more than ever, he's in need of our prayers and good wishes.
On his 70th birthday, I wish him always to remain close to God and to continue leading us to Him. I also wish him strength and blessings that he may share with us all.
Pope Leo is not only a passionate missionary and communicator of the gospel, but also a man of governance, having served both in the Augustinian Order and in the Roman Curia. And now, as the successor of St. Peter, he has found his way into the hearts of many.
He's also a man who loves sports and makes no secret of it. I hope he always keeps that youthful spirit alive in his heart, because the church needs a strong, wise, and authoritative leader.
Just steps from St. Peter's Square, a small and very special gelato shop decided to prepare a unique surprise for the Holy Father, a new ice cream flavor.
The Leonem flavor is a delicate hazelnut gelato with chopped nuts and ribbons of peanut.
Now it's time to deliver this special treat to the Pope on his birthday.
This flavor dedicated to him is our gift, and we're prepared for a special tasting in honor of his birthday.
Up next, feel the roar of the road as German bikers ride into Rome to gift the Pope a motorcycle. Dr. Thomas Draxler is a man with many passions.
My name is Dr. Thomas Draxler. I am a health scientist. We are here in front of my practice where I primarily treat patients with back pain.
Yet one passion is at the top of his list.
Jesus forever! Forever Jesus!
And it was here in my practice that the story of the Jesus Bikers began.
In 2014, Thomas founded the Jesus Bikers in Germany. In 2019, they gained international fame when they presented Pope Francis with a white Harley-Davidson in Rome, which was later auctioned off for charity.
Viva il Papa! Viva il Papa!
Now the Jesus Bikers want to repeat this act. In collaboration with German manufacturer BMW, the Witzel company from Franconia redesigned the motorcycle in papal style. The Pontifical Mission Societies in Austria, called Missio, will then auction off the machine to support exploited children in Madagascar.
Schön, wieder Brüder da zu haben hier.
Ich hatte halt keine so tolle Kindheit gehabt.
I didn't have such a great childhood, so I totally support this project. I know what it means, but those kids are worse off than I was.
Of course, many people ask questions like, hey, why are you doing this? I'm not the kind of person who wants to lecture or convert anyone. I always say in my simple words, imagine, 2,000 years ago, there was a man named Jesus Christ, a man like you and me, and his only weapons were his words about love and mercy. That can't be so wrong, right? And then it clicks with people, and they say, hey, you're right. You're a great bloke.
What I'm most excited about is simply showing our presence, that we are on the road, and sending a message that faith can also be lived. How can I put it best? We're cool.
Wie soll ich sagen? Wir sind auch cool.
Come on with me, join the peace ride to Rome. Come on with me, join the peace ride to Rome.
It all began on August the 31st, 2025. The first stage took the Jesus Bikers to Altötting, the most important Marian pilgrimage site in Bavaria. During Holy Mass in Altötting, new members were welcomed into the Jesus Bikers.
Anyone who has been baptized as a Christian and rides a motorbike can become a Jesus Biker.
And how do you decide whether to accept someone or not?
It's not us who decides that. It's up to our president, Jesus Christ, and our road captain, who is the Holy Spirit. If you want to profess your faith in Jesus Christ, then you've come to the right place.
What are you guys doing the whole day?
We ride motorcycles. Praying, biking, doing good.
As a woman of the Jesus Bikers, you're quite unique.
Yes, especially since I don't ride a motorcycle and I'm only a passenger. I found it really beautiful and emotional.
Is it also beautiful to sit behind your husband on the motorcycle and hold on tight when it's driving too fast around the curves like he always does?
Yes, it really is.
The next day, the bikers crossed the Alps and reached Italy. After a short night in Verona, the final stage was scheduled for September the 2nd. In the evening, the group arrived in Rome, which was a very special moment. Especially for Jesus Biker founder, Thomas Draxler.
We experienced everything on the road. The cold on the Brenner Pass. We had rain. We had heat. But everyone made it. And that's the most wonderful thing. Now this emotional moment on the Milvian Bridge, without this event from the year 312 AD, without the battle of Emperor Constantine, which took place here, we Jesus Bikers wouldn't exist, and Christianity wouldn't exist in this form.
The next day, September the 3rd, the Jesus Bikers arrived at St. Peter's Square to present Pope Leo XIV with a motorcycle at the end of the audience.
I prayed the rosary the whole time. We arrived at 6:30, we waited for hours, and I just prayed my rosary. I can really put all my nervousness, all my challenges into this prayer.
Then finally, the Pope arrives.
What did the Pope say when he saw the bike?
He was amazed. He had this expression on his face. He was very person-centered. He looked at us and then he noticed this huge white Pope motorcycle. Then he signed it with enthusiasm. After that, he even sat down on it.
What happens next with the motorcycle?
We want to auction it off professionally, and if there are people who can afford it and want to own a unique BMW Pope Leo XIV motorcycle, we hope that they will be willing to give as much as possible so that we can help as much as possible in Madagascar.
The Pope's motorcycle is to be auctioned off in Munich on October the 18th, 2025. Celebrated in his recent canonization, Pier Giorgio Frassati embodied youthful zeal and deep compassion for those in need. On the eve of the ceremony, his nearly 100-year-old niece, Wanda Gavronska, welcomed our EWTN crew into her home in Trastevere in Rome. As the daughter of the saint's beloved sister Luciana, Wanda has dedicated her life to preserving and promoting her uncle's spiritual legacy worldwide. Alongside cherished personal memories, she safeguards unique artifacts, including the ice axe Pier Giorgio used during his mountain climbs. Although a century has passed since Pier Giorgio succumbed to polio at the age of 24 in 1925, Wanda remains steadfast in her belief that his legacy will endure forever.
The memory of him is still very much alive, not just in our family, but all around the world. Truly, I wouldn't say it's surprising, because he was such a special person that even 100 years later, young people across the world still look up to him as a role model, a companion in life, someone whose strength and faith they can carry with them on their own journey. It's incredible. The very last thing, his final wish, was to write. He asked my mother to bring him the pieces of paper he had in the pocket of his jacket. In those papers, he had the addresses of people he still wanted to help. And his last request was for a sheet of paper and a pen. My mother told him, "I'll write it for you," because one of his arms was already paralyzed. He could barely move it anymore. He wanted to write it himself. And honestly, it's very hard to read what he wrote, but he did write it. It said, "These are the injections for the Converso family." It wasn't until 1952 that the church officially declared that lay people too could strive for holiness. But Pier Giorgio had already understood this 40 years earlier. Born in 1901, he realized well before that moment that a lay person also belongs fully to the church, and that they too can pursue holiness and live a life united with Christ. Pier Giorgio lived with Christ in his everyday life. Cardinal Wojtyła was deeply devoted to the figure of Pier Giorgio. It was he, as a cardinal, who called him the man of the eight Beatitudes. He said, "He died young, as saints often do," and later he had the joy of beatifying him himself. There are testimonies from when Pier Giorgio was just 3 years old. One story tells of how he met a nun and said, "Quickly, gather flowers and bring them to Christ." Another time, someone knocked at the door. Little Pier Giorgio was the first to reach it and saw a woman holding a child without shoes. Without hesitation, he took off his own shoes and gave them to the child. Before anyone else in the family could even reach the door, he had already given away his shoes. Even at 4 or 5 years old, he showed such gestures. It's clear that God had already given him love. He was born with this love for Christ. When his father told him, "I can give you a car or money for your 21st birthday, which do you prefer?" He immediately said money, because then he could give it to those in need. He wasn't just an example of giving money. He showed how to find work for someone in need, how to spend hours sitting with a family where someone might have died, how to truly be a friend to the poor, which is more than just giving money. It's quite strange because someone once asked him, "How do you manage to go into those poor homes? Back then they were really, really dirty. How can you bear to go into those filthy houses?" His answer was, "Christ comes to me in Holy Communion every day. I try to repay him in the way I can by visiting his poor." Then he added, "Around the poor, around the sick, I see a light we don't have."
I potem dodał, wkoło biednych, wkoło chorych, ja widzę światło, światło, którego my nie mamy.
Coming up, explore 10 years of Aci Stampa's dedicated coverage of the Vatican. Monday, September the 8th, 2025, the EWTN family gathered at its Rome offices to celebrate the 10th anniversary of Aci Stampa. Michael Warsaw, EWTN chairman and CEO, and Montse Alvarado, president and COO of EWTN News, were among those in attendance. The event was an afternoon of reflection, dialogue, and friendship, marking a decade of Aci Stampa's service to Catholic journalism.
The work that is being done here by the Aci Stampa team has an impact far beyond the shores of Italy. It is truly a global impact. And I think that's worth noting as we celebrate this 10th anniversary. So as we always say, especially, you know, if you have children and, you know, you watch them grow, you say, where did the time go? I can't believe it's been 10 years. So happy 10th anniversary.
Grazie.
God bless you.
It was March the 19th, 2015, when the first page of Aci Stampa went online. A Catholic news agency in the Italian language, born under the special protection of Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church.
At the start of 2015, we had to choose a date to launch our website. In the first few months of the year, we ran tests and prepared everything. On that particular day, the Pope was visiting Naples, so we decided to begin our coverage with that very event.
For the past 10 years, Aci Stampa, a service of EWTN News, has been committed to providing news and in-depth coverage of the Church in Italian, with a special focus on Rome and Italy. Particular attention is given to the words, activities, and travels of the Holy Father.
The idea behind Aci Stampa was precisely to create a new service in Italian. Why? Because at the heart of the Church, in the Vatican, the primary languages are Latin and Italian. Latin, of course, posed a bit of a challenge, so we went with Italian.
Aci Stampa operates from the EWTN Bureau on Via della Conciliazione number 3, just steps away from St. Peter's Square and the Holy See Press Office. The editorial team is made up of four Vatican experts, Angela Ambrogetti, Marco Mancini, Andrea Gagliarducci, and Veronica Giacometti, alongside different collaborators, such as Antonio Tarallo, who focus on the Vatican and religious news.
Io credo che le caratteristiche principali di Aci Stampa siano due. La prima.
I believe Aci Stampa's two main qualities are clear. First is balance, presenting the news to readers as fairly and objectively as possible. Over the past 10 years, we've often seen the news turn into heated, polarizing debates, like rival fan sections at a stadium, losing sight of the respect owed to our audience, who read, listen, and watch us. For me, news should be delivered for what it is, with the greatest possible sense of balance. A journalist's primary duty is to report the facts without letting personal beliefs interfere, so that readers and viewers can form their own opinions.
È in grado di farsi un'opinione.
Aci Stampa moves with the times, continuously updating its communication style to reflect advances in technology and the rise of social media.
Questo cambia sicuramente il modo di fare comunicazione anche per noi che scriviamo notizie.
This shift definitely affects how we deliver news. As a news agency, we not only need to consider information coming through social platforms, but we also have the power to share news through them. That said, communication itself doesn't change much. While the tools evolve, the core purpose remains the same: to communicate honestly and accurately as much as possible.
In maniera onesta e corretta.
È bello raccontare la diplomazia pontificia perché prima di tutto è qualcosa che nessuno fa.
Covering the Holy See's diplomacy is important because it's a side of the church that often goes unnoticed. People tend to associate the Pope's diplomacy only with his public appeals for peace, which are vital, but there's much more behind the scenes. The Vatican carries out delicate, behind-the-scenes work that few report on, and that's where a Catholic news agency can make a difference. The Church's mission includes not just public diplomacy, but also grassroots efforts, quiet mediation, and the diplomatic role of missionaries. This hidden work deserves to be told.
Il lavoro dei missionari e anche quello diplomatico in qualche modo. Per quello è importante raccontarlo.
Over the past decade, Achi Stampa has grown alongside the evolving landscape of church news and communication, and continues to look ahead with the same dedication to its mission.